school class this morning, I attempted to teach the class how to do a harmonization of the gospel accounts. We specifically were looking at the resurrection events. And had an interesting time with it, at least I did. There was one thing, though, that we noted, and that is in Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Why would he appear first to her? I was kind of joking a little bit, having a little bit of fun with at the apostles' expense. But to a certain extent, I was speaking truthfully. And Glenn, I'm getting a whole lot of feedback here. I would imagine that the apostles thought that they would have been the first ones to see the resurrected Christ. After all, they had walked with him for over 3 years. They were specifically chosen by him to continue the ministry. They had sacrificed their lives. They were trained for ministry. It seemed kind of natural that they would be the ones that he might appear to first, but he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. Why her? Was it that she was simply at the right place at the right time? She just happened to be at the tomb when Jesus was there and it was coincidence? Or was there a very specific purpose in appearing to her? Or was there some qualities that she possessed that made her the right choice? I would tend to believe that the last one is the predominant one. In fact, as we look at her biography in John chapter 20 this morning, there are 4 things that I want you to see about Mary Magdalene that singled her out that would make her the right person to appear to first. Turn in your Bibles with me. Excuse me. To John chapter 20. And I want to consider verses 11 down through verse 18. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth 2 angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Mary saith unto her, or Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. We kind of pick up the story of Mary Magdalene in the middle of it. Earlier in the day, she had gone out with some other women, and they were coming to anoint the body of Jesus. On the day of the crucifixion, he died just before sunset, and there was a necessity of getting the bodies off of the crosses so that the land would not be defiled. There was a hasty burial. Joseph of Arimathea had come for the body and taken him to a tomb where no man had ever laid. And they quickly did what they had to do. But now the time was past and Jesus was deserving a proper burial. And there was a necessity for these women to come back, of which Mary Magdalene was one, and to bring a significant amount of spices with them in order to preserve the body. They were troubled on the way as to how they would get into the tomb and so forth. And when they got there, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. They ran to tell the disciples. And now, as we pick up the story in verse 11. She has come back to the tomb. And it says here in verse 11, she stood outside. Why was she standing there? Why was she hanging around there? Well, I think right there we have a description of her that gives us some hint as to her character. May I just put it this way? She was willing to invest all her riches in Christ. She had these spices. They cost a lot of money. She had purchased them for the specific purposes of anointing the body, and that job wasn't done yet. She had spent a good deal, and she was going to see that what she had spent accomplished the purposes that she had spent it on. And consequently, she was still looking for the body. She, at this point, was thinking that someone had taken it, and she was going to find it, and she was going to do it right. Mary Magdalene, we don't know a whole lot about her. We don't know what her finances or financial situation was. Maybe she was rich, maybe she wasn't. I tend to believe that because of being indwelt with seven demons, there wasn't a whole lot that she had going for her socially, and therefore her economic status was probably of limited means. And yet she was willing, seeing a need for the body of Christ, to invest her riches. And she wasn't willing to keep anything for herself. She was willing to invest all her riches in Christ. I don't like to preach on finances. As most of you who are regular attenders here, finances are a rare part of my preaching. And I'm not going to harp on it this morning in case you're getting concerned or worried about this or anything else. That's not going to be the case. The key word is willing. She was willing to invest. And I use the word invest very carefully. She was not willing to spend. She was not willing to give. She was willing to invest. Now, you turn on the TV today and you hear all these characters on there saying about how you plant a seed and the Lord's going to give back 10 or 100 times in this life. The Lord Jesus put it this way: lay up treasures in heaven. He wasn't talking about investing in the things of this life. And if God brings a return on what you give for him now, that's fine. But Mary was willing to spend with the investment towards heaven for eternity. Here's the body of her Lord, and it needed these things. And she was willing to give and to give and to give and to give. I ask you a question. What are you willing to give? I'm not asking what you should give or do give. I'm not talking about percentages or anything along those lines. What are you willing to give? Let me put the question another way. What are you unwilling to give? Well, I need this for the bills. I'm unwilling to fall behind in payments. Well, that's good stewardship. But do you mean that God cannot supply if you give that? There was a rich young man who came to Christ, and he said to him, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And the Lord said to him, "I want you to go and sell all your possessions and give it to the poor." Let you off the hook on this one, in case you're getting worried. That's the only person in the Bible he ever told that to. That God would ask us to give everything that we have only happened once in all of Scripture. I doubt it happens very often in our lives, if at all. But the question is, what would you be willing to do? If He laid upon your heart to give away everything that you have, would you do it? Over in the book of Acts, in the early days of the church, there was a famine, and there were people who were poor, and consequently people who had possessions were selling of their lands and their houses, plural, and giving to the apostles and who were distributing to the poor. Would you be willing to do that? Well, let you off the hook once again. It's the only place in the book of Acts that was ever done. That's not a regular thing. But the question is, would you be willing to do that? The issue of giving is not a percentage. The issue of giving is not a formula. The issue of giving is, what does the Lord lay on your heart, and what are you willing to do? And Mary was willing to give everything. And consequently, I think there was something about that that made her desirable to the Lord Jesus to appear to first. She was standing outside the sepulcher. Second thing, she was willing to do whatever is necessary for Christ. Think about what she was going to do. She came to anoint the body. That means that she would have to come in contact with a dead person. According to Hebrew law, the Mosaic law, when you would come into contact with a dead person, you would be ceremonially unclean for the entirety of the day. And the problem was, they were there very early in the morning. That meant for the entirety of the day until sundown, she would be ceremonially unclean. She would be not permitted to be involved in the worship of the temple. She would be estranged from the society because she was unclean. She would be cut off from the social contacts that she had. That was a tremendous thing for her to be willing to do. And yet it was a need. And she said, it doesn't really matter what comes to me of this. I am willing to do whatever is necessary for Christ. Let me ask you a question. What would you be willing to do for Christ? Well, if you would say anything and everything, you came up with the wrong answer. Wait a minute, isn't that what you're talking about? Nope. The right answer is anything and everything in the will of God for Christ. You see, we can do all kinds of good things. But the only real good thing is what God asks of us. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I would give my body to be burned and have not love, what would it profit me? Now he's talking about the issue of love and service and so forth. And I'm kind of taking a verse out of context. I admit that right up front. But let me tell you why I said that. If he had not love, he would have been out of the will of God in his ministry, in how he was doing it. But you can be out of the will of God in doing something good. Over in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul was seeking to go and to preach the gospel to a bunch of different areas, cities and regions. And it says there that the Holy Spirit was not permitting him. Why would the Holy Spirit not permit him? Because the Holy Spirit had one specific place. It was Macedonia. And he was trying to go to Mysia, and he was trying to go to Troas. And every time he went, the door was blocked. It was a wonderful thing. In fact, it was in keeping with the commands of Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit said, no, not here. No, not here. Here's where I want you to go. He was willing to go anywhere, but he only went where the Lord himself directed. Mary was that kind of a person. She was willing to do whatever was necessary. Sometimes we get a little full of ourselves and our importance within the body of Christ. I'm too good for that. Really? Who was the most perfect person that ever walked the earth? Well, it was the Lord Jesus. And yet on the night of his betrayal and the eve of his crucifixion, when they met together in the upper room, he took a towel and girded himself, and he went down and he washed the feet of his disciples. That was beneath him. In fact, when he came to Peter, Peter said, Lord, we got things backwards here. I should be doing this for you. Yeah, right. But the Lord said to him, I've given you an example to follow. Mary was willing to do whatever was necessary for Christ. Thirdly, she was unwilling to be separated in any way from Christ. She's standing outside. She's wondering what in the world's going on. She's asked the angels, where have they taken him? She turns around. She sees Jesus, thinking him to be the gardener. She says, if you've taken him away, tell me where he is. I'll go get him. That's a job that needs to be done. I'm willing to do it. But she didn't recognize that that was the Lord she was looking for. And Jesus said unto her, Mary, he just called her by name, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, as Mike read just a few moments ago. He calls us by name. And I don't know what it was in the way he said it, but in the way that he called her name, she recognized him. And she cried out, Rabboni, which is to say, master, literally, teacher, not just one who communicates knowledge, but one who speaks with authority. And do you know what she did? She fell down at his feet and grabbed a hold of him. Verse 17, Jesus says unto her, touch me not. What you have here in the original language is a prohibitive imperative. Interesting the way the Greeks had those things. They had two different verb tenses. They had a negative particle, and if they used a present tense verb, it meant to stop doing something that was already going on. If it was an aorist tense verb, it was don't start something that wasn't happening. This was a present tense imperative. In other words, literally it is stop, and the word touch isn't not like this. It was this way. Stop grasping, holding on to me. She was. Which, by the way, those of you in my Sunday school class, I forget exactly which gospel it was, but the women were touching him. Same deal. What's going on here is Mary is basically saying, Lord, you're never going to do this to me again. I'm not letting you go for anything. You are going nowhere if I can. I will be right next to your side for here on throughout time. Nothing will separate me from you. What can separate us from God? From fellowship with God? Put it another way. What binds us to him? Sin separates us. Love binds us. In other words, Lord, I love you so much that I will allow nothing to interfere with that relationship that will put a break in our fellowship and bring separation. I love the verse in Hebrews concerning Moses where it says that he put aside the pleasures of sin. You know what? Sin is pleasurable. Don't ask me how I know. I won't ask you either. And as I was saying earlier this morning, sometimes we recognize that the will of God is perfect, but our will is better. Which can't be, because how can you get better than perfect? But that's what we think. Oh, Lord, I know your will is perfect, but I've got to do what I've got to do. And it separates us, because anything outside the will of God is sin. And here's a woman who had been possessed of seven demons, and undoubtedly, her lifestyle before coming to know Christ as Savior was a life filled with sin. She says, now that you're alive, that's not going to separate us anymore. Finally, Mary was willing to go anywhere with the message of Christ. She was willing to invest all her riches in Christ, willing to do whatever was necessary for Christ, unwilling to be separated by anything from Christ, and now willing to go anywhere with the message of Christ. Jesus said, "Okay, Mary, don't worry about it. I am not going anywhere, at least for the time being. But I do have a job for you. I want you to go to my brethren, and I want you to tell them that you have seen me. That there is a time coming when I am going back to my Father, but He's your Father too." Do you know what He's saying? There will be a time that you'll be there with me. I'm going back to my God. He's your God too. You'll be there with me. The relationship, father-child relationship, never be broken. The relationship of God and creation, never be broken. You go tell my brethren. And you know what she did? Look what the verse says in verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that He had spoken these things. Exactly what He told her to say. Now, can you imagine this? Well, let's see. What am I going to say? How am I going to make this interesting? How will I get their attention? And she starts looking for new and exciting ways to preach the gospel. Nope. She just went and told it. Guys, I've met the Lord. He's alive. We get all concerned about how fancy we have to be or how innovative we have to be, how contemporary we have to be. Do you know what? There's only one requirement. How obedient we must be. Just say what He's told us to say. And she did just that. Here's a person that manifested a lot of qualities that were just God-honoring qualities. And I think it delighted the heart of God and said, "That's the perfect person to reveal myself unto first of all." Well, Mary went home and she said to herself, "This is great. What a wonderful day. I was the first one to see the Lord." No. It's like a trophy up on the mantle. No. My mentor down at Appalachian Bible College, Dr. Ryder, said, "Man is the most curious of God's creation. You pat him on the back and his head swells." Mary's head didn't swell. All she said is, "Here I am, a sinner saved by grace that's given everything to God, and He delighted in it." Do you know that could be you? Now, obviously, the Lord is in heaven, and He's not going to appear to any of us until He comes back in the rapture of the church. So it's not going to be a resurrection scene that we'll have the honor of viewing. And when He comes back for the rapture of the church, He's not going to appear to any one of us first and then somebody else secondly. He's going to appear to His church in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. So we'll all get to see Him at the same time. But in the area of service, "Oh, He can't use me. I'm just a common, ordinary person." So was Mary. "He can't use me. I've had a terrible past." So did Mary. "He can't use me. I don't have any specific wonderful gifts to use." So did Mary. And yet she was the first to have the privilege of going to tell people that she had seen the resurrected Christ. What are you willing to invest in Christ? What are you willing to do for Christ? What are you unwilling to do to be separated from Christ? Where are you willing to go with the message of Christ? If you have limitations on any of those things, that's going to limitate. Oh, brother, this thing is getting to me. It's all gone right past the sinuses into the brain. that will limit your service. But if the answer is, I'm willing to give all, do all in the will of God, allow nothing to separate me, way of sin, and go anywhere with the message, God can do wonderful things through you. Wouldn't that be neat? To be used of God in such a way. You can. Let's pray. Father, I have struggled with my voice this morning. But I've sought to communicate the Word of God, your voice. And your voice is clearer than this preacher. Your Word makes sense. Your Word is true. Your Word is effectual. Your Word brings life. Father, I pray that as these thoughts have gone out this morning from this pulpit, that we might recognize that we don't have to be something special in terms of gifts or abilities, in terms of finances, in terms of social status or anything else to do great things for you. All we have to do is be willing. Willing to invest whatever we have. Willing to do whatever we can. Willing to stay away from anything that would separate the relationship and the fellowship that we have with you. Willing to go anywhere. Even when, as Mary did and went to the apostles and they would not believe. Father, help us to be just like her. Father, I pray if there's one here this morning who has never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that right now, under that conviction of the Holy Ghost speaking to them, that they might recognize that the wages of sin is death. But that death was experienced by the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. That death that He died, paid for their sins. And that's the only payment that you receive, that you will accept, that you will honor. There's no such thing as good works, good deeds, good character that's able to avail them of a place with you. But simply by faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they might be made whole like Mary. Father, may we all be like her in our service for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.